countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, earlier this week, the government published its Climate Action Bill, an important piece of legislation and a major step in the journey to try and make Ireland net carbon zero by the year 2050. Now, each of the key emission sectors, such as, for example, transport, energy and agriculture, will be given five-year budgets or ceilings on emissions, and it's going to be reviewed on a yearly basis. We're going to just focus now on agriculture, and maybe even more specific than that, on the dairy sector and what it needs to do in terms of helping us meet our targets. And I'm joined by Sive O'Neill, who's coordinator of Stop Climate Chaos, and Thomas Duffy, a dairy farmer and president of Macro na Fermat. Thank you both very much for joining us this morning. Sive, I might begin with yourself. Are you satisfied that in agriculture, and specifically in dairying, that the sector is working at ways, as they say, to find ways of reducing emissions?
Good morning, Damien. Well, firstly, I just want to say that we broadly welcome the bill. It does represent a milestone in climate policy governance and addresses a lot of weaknesses that were in the existing legislation. So the bill sets a target for net zero by 2050. And even if this isn't necessarily consistent with the most recent IPCC science, it does mean that by 2050, Ireland's residual emissions of greenhouse gases will have to be balanced by removals. Now, when you consider that we're currently emitting 60 million tonnes per annum, and we have about 13 tonnes of carbon emitted per capita, which is very high across Europe, that's a very significant and ambitious target. One third of all of Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions come from the agriculture and land use sector. And as we've discussed before on this programme, there's a worrying projection and increase in emissions that are largely due to the intensification coming from the dairy sector. So while the other sectors are showing some stabilisation and gradual declines in emissions, by no means not reaching any targets yet, the problem is that the agricultural sector isn't showing yet that clear reduction in emissions. Mm. So when the bill is implemented and enacted, it will propose a system of carbon budgets. And the critical point here is that these will apply across the economy. They will cover all sectors and gases. And then after that, once they're adopted, the minister is going to propose sectoral carbon budgets called decarbonisation target ranges in the bill. And these will set targets for each sector. And there will be a numerical target for the first time established in law for the agricultural right. sector. And that is highly significant.
OK, Thomas, it's highly significant. There's going to be a target. But Sai's saying there's a clear, clear evidence that there isn't a reduction actually happening in your sector?
Well, I suppose the first thing to point out is the statement that there's reductions happening in all of the sectors broadly is not actually accurate. The private transport sector was increasing globally as well. The actual aviation sector is predicted to be the fastest growing sector in the world, and including in Ireland. So we need to be realistic here for a second. I think there are three elements of the bill that we do need to recognise that are very, very important. A little bit of a departure maybe, and a recognition of what the different aspect to agriculture. It was highlighted by Tánaiste at the press conference that the bill does refer to the important and concerning risk of carbon leakage, particularly, and I note the discussion you just had there about Mercosur and the Mercosur deal, and that was actually referenced directly that if we reduce production in Ireland, it's very likely to go somewhere else. So we need to recognise that. The social and economic status of agriculture and that is fundamentally the underpinning of the entire rural economy are both two elements that are called out specifically. And then again, in terms of methane, because methane is the real question here, and it's the real important gas, I suppose, over the entire thing. And recognising, in line with the best science in the 2018 IPCC report, which it calls out in the bill itself, which is a bit unusual for a legal bill to reference a scientific document, but it's excellent to see it. Now, biogenic methane will have to be dealt with differently. Mm. And when we read that report, we see that it's defined as a short-lived climate-forcing gas. And I suppose that's not a get-out-of-free by any manner or means, but the way that we handle methane is going to have to be different to the way that we right. handle carbon.
And there's a lot of focus focus, Thomas, on the dairy herd, which has increased in the last few years since the abolition of milk quotas, with the suggestion that cow numbers have to be reduced. Can that actually happen, and how can that happen without impinging on farmer livelihoods?
Well, I suppose we have to be very clear here. If the aim is to reduce both the methane and the overall carbon budget of agriculture, the number of cows is one element of it, but the actual intensity of methane production per animal is also a major issue. Now, this is a huge challenge for agriculture, as Macra has said. I mean, we need to see ambitious targets for all of the sectors, and we do need to address it, primarily because your listeners today, Damien, many of them being farmers, are going to be the first people to face climate change. I mean, my land can't move. If you're working in an office, you can pick up your office and move to somewhere else. But I mean, if my land dries out, if my land floods, I really am going to be at the coal face of.
But are there other ways of reducing the impact?
Yes. I mean, we have a number of different ways that are being developed. And I suppose, I know we're talking here about the dairy herd, but certainly the dairy beef is one element where we can see potential huge drop-offs, because about 700,000 dairy beef animals are produced this year. If we look at the research coming out of Chagas, for instance, and just to talk about methane, there's a potential by just reducing the age at slaughter, by improving the genetics of those animals, to achieve a 10% cut in enteric methane across the national herd. Okay. I think in terms of the dairy herd, we're going to have to look at two separate sets of things. One is changing feeding and maybe the potential for methane reduction.
Okay, so feeding and breeding, Sive. There are ways of actually reducing emissions, reducing methane levels without actually impinging on farmer livelihoods and on cow numbers.
Well, the first thing to say is that we support the need for a just transition for farmers. We're not opposed to farmers having a sustainable livelihood, and it's vital that we have a just transition that allows farmers and encourages farmers to protect biodiversity, to produce food in ways that do not cause damage to the environment or the atmosphere. But just to say as well that about 100 years ago, we might have had 2 million head of cattle in Ireland, and we have 7 million now. It's misleading to say that we have to stick with the number of cattle that we have at the moment. That is a policy choice. And this policy choice, which has been driven by the attitude to the milk quota abolition, has actually generated more emissions. We are relying on more and more nitrogen fertiliser to produce more grass per hectare to increase the dairy herd and increase milk production.
But isn't demand growing? The global population has increased, and demand from developing countries for proteins from animals is continuing to increase. And if we don't produce it here, it'll be produced less efficiently elsewhere. That's an argument that's put. What do you say to that?
Well, I would just say that we have to live within our ecological limits, and we have to respect planetary boundaries as they apply to Ireland. And we don't have an unlimited resource here. We have water pollution, biodiversity loss and greenhouse gas emissions, and also ammonia, air pollution as well, as a result of this intensification. And it's unsustainable. So there may well be demand globally. But is it sustainable for the Irish landscape to be sacrificed so we can export dairy milk protein to China, for example? We don't think this is a sustainable model.
But we're just passing it on to some other country.
Well, the point is we are polluting our own environment to generate commodities that we're not even consuming ourselves. They're for export. The net value to Ireland, I think, is highly questionable. So the point is, what's the future for farming? The future is in diversification. The future is in land management, supporting biodiversity and nature-based solutions. And we support CAP reforms and the biodiversity strategy that's coming from the EU to encourage and incentivise farming practices to change. We do need a new model, because the current model is unsustainable.
OK, we're going to leave it there. Thank you both very much indeed. I know it's been a short little debate. We still had the guts of 10 minutes there, but thank you both very much for giving us your points of view on that. And it is a subject that we will be returning to on the programme next week, and indeed subsequent to that. But Thomas Duffy and Sive O'Neill, thank you as always for joining us on Countrywide, which is at an end until I talk to you at the same time next week. Stay tuned for playback after the 9 News here in Radio 1. But as I said, until I talk to you at the same time next week, bye-bye and thanks for listening.
You can listen back to today's show on rte.ie/countrywide.